This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of the Jordan Harbinger Show.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
What's my favorite thing in the world? My favorite thing in the world. You're going to hear about it tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about me, in all seriousness. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris at the border. Barack Obama is back, and we have more tonight on I'm Right. I know what you're saying. You're saying to yourself, Jesse, I don't really care about critical race theory or our school getting destroyed or America ruined or Kamala Harris dumping all over the border situation or Barack Obama. Jesse, all I care about is you. And I know that. I mean, deep down, I understand you're here for me and me alone, right? Now, because in my mind, the world just revolves around me. I'm the sun, really. I consider myself like the sun. But in all seriousness, I do have a bit of an announcement to make before we get in here. No, don't worry. I am not going anywhere when it comes to your television set. You keep tuning into The First every single weeknight, 9 p.m. Eastern, and you're going to keep seeing me blather on about politics for an hour every single night. That's not going to change. However, I understand there's a bit of cross audience when it comes to the TV show and my radio show. I have a nationally syndicated radio show called The Jesse Kelly Show. Well, that apparently got really popular, like really, really popular. And the biggest syndication network in America, Premier Networks, just signed me. And now you're going to hear The Jesse Kelly Show on over 200 stations nationwide, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, every single weeknight as well. So look, if there's anything this world has been lacking, it's even more me. But apparently we've just solved that problem. So we're all good. We can go now. I'm kidding. Don't go anywhere. We have to talk about America. Back to the serious stuff. You understand this all starts at school, right? We all have to understand that. And I lose sight of that too because I'll focus on this person or that guy's a scumbag or this specific issue. But what is our problem right now? I've been asked this several times because I get interviewed too. Jesse, what's the problem in America? It really comes down to one word. patriotism. And that word has been so stigmatized by the left that half the time when you say that, people roll their eyes as if it's not important. Well, understand this, and we have to understand this, or we're never going to overcome the left right now. Understand, patriotism, the love of your nation, the feeling of an obligation to your nation, a duty to protect the nation because you're grateful to live there, patriotism, that is not like a thing that, well, if he has that, that's nice. Oh, he's kind of patriotic, that's fun. The love of your nation, whatever your nation is critical for that nation's future and success. And it makes sense, right? It doesn't have to be America. It could be a tiny tribe out in the outback of Australia. Or it can be America, or anything in between. If that area, tribe, nation, whatever it is full of people who wake up every day, you know, like you do, you and me, we wake up every day, and yeah, we have our own lives, right? Families, kids, job, everything else, whatever. But deep down, you feel grateful to be part of the tribe, part of the country, and you feel like you have an obligation to do something for that country, an obligation to make sure that country keeps going, right? The same reason you feed your kids. Why do you feed your kids? Well, because you love them, and therefore that love translates into you feeling you have an obligation to feed and clothe them and whatnot. Same thing for a country. If your nation's full of people who feel that way, your nation, your tribe, is going to be very successful because it's a bunch of people who understand. Blessed to be here, man. If your nation is full of people who think that nation sucks, you're done. I don't have an easier way to put that for you. And I'll be honest with you right now, and this might be the hardest truth I've ever told on this show. I don't know where we are on that balance scale. I don't know that we have a country with enough patriots left in it to survive. I don't know that. I hope we do. I think we might. I don't know. That balance scale's looking really bad. But setting aside that exact issue, why? Well, how did that happen? I mean, undoubtedly, we are blessed, right? You get that. I've used this example before, but I really want to drive this home for you. I have sitting beside me, it's just a styrofoam cup, right? Styrofoam cup. It's full of water, ice water. Do you know how far I had to go? Well, in all seriousness, how far my producer had to go to get me this glass of water? 20 feet? Mitchell, was it even 20 feet? 20 feet away from where I sit right now is this glass of water. Do you know how many more of these I can have if I so desire before the end of the show? With no bathroom considerations, of course. As much as I want. As much as I want. I can drink until I throw up. How far are you from a faucet that gives you drinkable water? How far are you as you sit right now? You understand all over the world, people will die today because they don't have access to clean drinking water. We are so blessed to be here in America, to be in a modern nation in America. We are. We're overwhelmingly blessed. Now let me ask you this, and this is a hard question. What percentage of Americans feel that way? What percentage of Americans feel that way? And if you don't like how that number looks, well, you don't have to look further than our education system. You see, we're going to talk a little bit about critical race theory now and critical race theory in America and the blowback against it and so on and so forth, and that part's important. But I want you to understand, an anti-American education is not some new thing. This has been going on for decades in America. It's not an accident. We're supposed to pretend like this just kind of happened. It was very purposeful. The communists very well knew they had to take over the education system so they could teach generation after generation after generation that the United States of America is nothing but the genocide of Indians and slavery and, of course, the horrible civil rights violations of black people, and that's all America is. Thank you. Have a good day. And soon you have generations of people, they don't even think about the blessings of a glass of water, and they certainly don't think about making America even better, a duty to America. soon you have a generation of people, generations of people, they think this place kind of sucks. And if you tell them something they're doing is harmful to America, you know what they'll do? Deep down inside, if not right to your face, they'll go, nah, America deserves it. And it starts in school. One mom apparently has had enough of it.
I have no issue hearing what you have to say, but...
Why can we not let the public speak? Why can't we let the public know that you're teaching our children to go out and murder our police officers? Do you want the proof? I have the proof. Is that what scares you, the proof? That a parent actually standing up against all of you? Is that what scares you, to call out the names of these people? You work for me. I don't work for you. You have a duty. We are entrusting our children to you. We teach our children morals, values, when they grow up to commit crimes and end up in prison and kill a police officer. It's our fault? No, it's your fault. You're emotionally abusing our children and mentally abusing them. You're demoralizing them by teaching them communist values. This is still America, ma'am. And as long as I'm standing here on this good ground earth of God, I will fight. And this is not the last of me you will see.
Daggone. Mr. Producer, go ahead and get that woman on the show, please, if you wouldn't mind. Daggone. But she's right. Parents, look, there's been a lot to look down on over the last year. There has been, obviously. We don't need to go over that. We talk about it all the time. If you want to feel better about something, feel better about this. More than at any time in my life, Americans like you who actually care about this place are awake and alert to just how bad the anti-Americanism is out there on the left, and they have had enough of it, especially parents. We see this all across the country. There are billboards going on, you know, billboards going up outside of a New York City prep school that was doing all this filth. They're blasting away at it. These are not the only ones you see out there. There are people, there are actual whole organizations that are propping up, that are criticizing these schools, going after school boards across America. Many of these people are friends of mine. There are lawyers getting involved. If you want to feel good about something right now, feel good about the fact the right is awake and alert, that the left hates this country. Hates this country. And we have to accept that. We have to accept that about our fellow Americans. I mean, I know that hurts to say. They are our fellow Americans. But you don't get to look at the guy next to you anymore and say, we're just a couple dudes that love America. You don't know that. You don't know that. And look, part of critical race theory, reparations? Wait, what? Paying somebody now for something their ancestors went through, or someone's ancestors that, what? I mean, you got a girl calling it out.
I'm seeing a lot of talk about reparations on TikTok, Twitter. There's a pastor in Tulsa who said, "We cannot have true reconciliation and healing without reparations." I don't agree with that. It's 2021. How are we to determine who gets reparations and who doesn't? Again, it's 2021. Not every black person is the descendant of a slave, and not every descendant of a slave is black. And not every person who was a slave was black. And are we talking about slaves who were freed when the war ended, or slaves who were freed maybe even decades after the first slave ships arrived? In a lot of the northern states, slavery ended just after the Revolutionary War. But I digress. Reparations as the first step to healing? Mm-mm. The first step to healing is forgiveness. If the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, "Well, they don't deserve forgiveness," sit down, let me learn you a thing or two. Time heals all wounds, but if you have a wound that hasn't healed, it's probably because you're still picking at it. If you fill your heart with bitterness, there's no room for joy, there's no room for peace. Holding on to bitterness is bondage, and many of y'all have chained yourself to the dead. Even worse, some of y'all have passed that bitterness down to your children. Forgiveness isn't for that other person, it's for you. It's to set you free.
Daggone. Now, if there's one person we don't need to hear from right now, one person, if I had to pick one person that I would be like, you know, let's just make sure that guy stays home for a couple years, one person that's not going to provide any healing is one Barack Obama. You see, Barack Obama, I'm going to try not to get my blood pressure up here. I'm going to do the best I can not to get my blood pressure up. I despise Barack Obama much more than I even despise any of these modern Democrats. More than anyone else, he ushered in this era, this cultural Marxist era. He packed the federal bureaucracy. To his credit, it was a smart move. He packed the bureaucracy with a bunch of America-hating communists who felt the same way about the country that he did, and then spent 4 years, then spent four more years dividing up the country by race, by this, by that. America sucks. America sucks. And now, of course, at a time where patriotism's at its lowest, Barack Obama's out there doing sit-down interviews.
You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that, you know, the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that that was the threat to our republic?
The fact that Barack Obama's telling you it's not a threat to our republic, tells you all you need to know. That is the threat to the republic. All the other issues we face, no matter what they are, all of them are solved if we have a country full of patriotic people who believe they are blessed to be here, who love the place, and therefore feel an obligation, a duty to their country. And not one of our problems will be solved if we have a country full of people who think this place sucks and, quite frankly, deserves to be brought to its knees. That's a fact. Oh, Barack Obama went on.
There are certain right-wing media venues, for example, that monetize and capitalize on stoking the fear and resentment of a white population that is witnessing a changing America and seeing demographic changes, and do everything they can to give people a sense that their way of life is threatened and that people are trying to take advantage of them.
Your way of life is threatened and people are trying to take advantage of you. And it's not your skin color. I'm not talking about white or black or any other stuff. If you believe this country is great, if you believe America should be free, if you have a life who, if you believe in God, if you believe in the Second Amendment, if you believe people should be able to say what they want without fear of reprisal from the government, if you believe these basic things about the country, your way of life is under assault. And it is under relentless assault. And it's under assault from an enemy that's not going to get tired. He's not going to slow down. He's never going to achieve a certain level of victory and look around and say to himself, you know, I've gotten enough. I'm done here. Because that's not how communists think. You're under assault by communists. I don't care that it makes people uncomfortable. That's what these people are. Communists don't even stop when they've completely taken over something. They just turn around and start killing other communists. That's how it works every single time. They don't stop. It's not a political ideology. It's a religion of domination. That's what we're up against, and we will never defeat it unless we take back our schools. And not just remove critical race theory. That's defense. That's necessary, but that's defense. Remove critical race theory and then teach your values. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm excited about covering this Kamala Harris at the border stuff, but first, you have a home? If you have a home and you don't have home title lock, you've essentially taken your most valuable asset and just dangled it in front of a bunch of criminals asking to be ripped off. Listen to the criminals. They're telling you.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh, no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
You want to get evicted? Or you want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a lawyer to unwind all that? Or do you just want to go get Home Title Lock? Oh, and when you use the promo code radio, you get 30 days of it free. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com, Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. We'll be back.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border. Well,
isn't she so cringe? What I mean by that, look, I had this whole broader point I was going to make about the border and the communists and everything else, but Mr. Producer, get ready. I'm going to want you to play this one again. Isn't she just an awkward person? Is it possible, hear me out here, maybe we've been too hard on Kamala Harris as being this ruthlessly ambitious, soulless monster who only cares about advancement, when in reality, maybe Kamala Harris is just a big nerd who never developed that thing called a personality at all? Every part of her just kind of makes me wince a little bit when I see her. Play this again.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border. Well,
and the cackling. All right, here's what's going on here. I understand everyone has a take on this today. Allow me to explain to you exactly what's going on with Kamala Harris and the border. You watch this show regularly, because of course you do. Because you watch this show regularly, what did I tell you way back when Joe Biden decided we're gonna put Kamala Harris in charge of the border? What did I tell you? Did I tell you what everyone else said, or did I have my own take on it? What I told you was this. There is some kind of a rift between the Bidens and Harris. It's not surprising. All right, they're obviously not friends. There's a rift there. We've since had articles come out that say Jill Biden hated Kamala Harris for what she did to Joe in the debates or whatever. I don't know the reason. But as soon as Joe Biden handed Kamala Harris the border, put her in charge of the border, what did I tell you? I said this was done on purpose. It was done on purpose because the border situation is an unmitigated disaster. It's not about to get better. And by handing it off to Kamala Harris, what you do is it's the ultimate passive-aggressive move if you're the Bidens. Because you can say, ha, I value you so much, you're in charge of the border. That's how smart and capable I think you are. Congrats on captaining the Titanic. That's what it is. It's the ultimate passive-aggressive move. I trust you, but you are screwed. That's what happened. Now, Kamala Harris, she may be cringe. She may lack a personality or a soul. And yeah, all that stuff's probably true. But Kamala Harris, while she's all those things, is not a moron. She's not an idiot. And politically, she's certainly not an idiot. How many times have we had people who know her on the show that say she's a chameleon? She'll turn into whatever she has to be for power. When Kamala Harris got handed the border situation, she knew what that was. That's why she hasn't gone to the border. That's why. It's a disaster. It's getting worse by the day, not better. Just because the news coverage is going down, it's getting worse, not better. It's an unmitigated disaster. And one thing Kamala Harris knows, and she knows this really well, as a politician, it does not pay to walk into a house fire with no plan to put out the house fire and allow yourself to be photographed in the living room while the picture of little Johnny is burning on the mantle behind you. Kamala Harris is not going to the border because Kamala Harris does not want to be photographed at the border because she knows her future opponents are going to use this border, Kamala's in charge of the border thing, to absolutely crucify her. That's what's really going on. Now, you and I talk a lot about protection, don't we? We've done whole shows on you protecting yourself. And what do we talk about when we talk about protection? Yeah, obviously weapons is always part of it. You know, weapons, ammo, those things. We talk about the less sexy side of it too. Making sure you have enough water. I talk to you about My Patriot Supply all the time. We talk about making sure your food, your shelter, your batteries, things like that. All these things are necessary. But you've taken the time to make sure your family's safe and protected by doing all those steps. Did you really go buy a holster that was made by the thousand, probably in China, by a big box hunting store? After all that? You did all that and then you entrusted your weapon to some junky mass-produced holster? I only carry things from Northwest Retention Systems. Northwest Retention Systems. I won't carry my mag holders are Northwest Retention Systems, my holsters, and I have multiple from Northwest Retention Systems. Why? Well, yeah, I like that they're made in America. That's important to me. But they're custom made. Go to nwretention.com. When you do that, use the promo code Jesse. Get yourself 10% off. We'll be back. Infrastructure. How often have you heard this word infrastructure? Now we have this headline, New York Times, infrastructure negotiations may be nearing the end. Okay, joining me now to talk about that is John Hart. He's a Republican strategist and co-founder slash vice president of C3 Solutions. John, I've heard infrastructure 10,000 times since Joe Biden was elected. I take this as being just one catch-all phrase for them to dump all their crap in one gigantic bill. Am I wrong?
Well, Jesse, it's great to be on. Well, no, I don't think you are wrong. I think what Democrats are doing this year is they're using these quote name infrastructure to throw in all kinds of things that aren't related to what we think of as traditional infrastructure. So there's actually broad bipartisan agreement on doing things like updating roads and bridges, repairing structurally deficient bridges, rural broadband. That's a great bipartisan issue. Connecting people in rural America to the rest of the country, tapping that potential airport. So there's a lot of traditional infrastructure support that's bipartisan, but what Democrats are trying to do is not just upgrade our physical infrastructure, but change the infrastructure of all of our society. So when you think about a radical plan like the Green New Deal, okay, it isn't just a climate proposal; it's a plan to completely rethink American society. And the left is waging a proxy war on capitalism through innocuous terms like infrastructure. So there's a lot of skepticism in opposition to this on the Hill, both because of the scope of it, but also because Democrats are trying to use infrastructure to raise taxes. So if you want to hurt the environment, take more money out of the private sector. You know, sort of this defund the private sector approach is not going to help innovators come up with new technologies that will lead to a cleaner, more prosperous environment. So it's really the wrong approach on multiple levels. And look, so the question boils down to on taxes is, you know, do you trust Elon Musk and Bill Gates to spend their money, or do you think Elizabeth Warren is more equipped to spend Elon Musk's money? That's really what the question comes down to. And I'd be willing to put my money on Elon Musk. I'd rather him allocate scarce resources, or, you know, any number of Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, regardless of the politics. So that's what this is about.
John, I have to ask, negotiations may be coming to an end. Now, us on the outside want to know, what does that mean? Are we coming close to an infrastructure deal? Is the whole thing blowing up? What does that mean?
Well, Jesse, you know, I'm quite optimistic right now, because I think when you step back and look at what's happening with Senator Manchin and, you know, his meeting he had today with Al Sharpton, the left is in a panic mode. They feel like their agenda is really in jeopardy. The HR 1, which is a terrible bill, a very partisan voting rights bill, Joe Manchin opposed that for good reason. You know, he's trying to protect the filibuster because he knows that he's the last line of defense between a very radical agenda that includes things like banning fossil fuels, which would essentially shut down his home state of West Virginia. So I think we're close, because I think the left is realizing they don't have the votes to do a lot of the things they want to do. And if they want to hand Joe Biden any kind of victory, it's going to be around this issue of infrastructure. That's where the sweet spot is. That's where the bipartisan agreement is, where you're going to get fiscal conservatives. You know, my old boss, Tom Coburn, no one cared more about the deficit and debt than he did. No one fought harder against wasteful spending, things like the Bridge to Nowhere. But Coburn was willing to invest in infrastructure because we had a constitutional legitimate role to do that under the Interstate Commerce Clause. So again, I think we're close, because this is really the only thing that we're going to get done on a bipartisan basis.
John, can you play any of those guitars behind you, or are they just for show?
No, I can play all of them, actually. Would you like me to go back and pull them up?
No, look, those of us with no artistic talent whatsoever, we don't appreciate people who have it. We're just very, very resentful. We're just going to move on here to something else. I'm looking at a headline. Perhaps you've read it. It says, "Let's accelerate, not reverse energy progress since the 1970s gas station lines." What's this administration doing that's reversing us?
Well, I think what they're doing to reverse it is, again, there's two philosophies on energy policy. One is to support what I call all of the above, where we have a tech neutral approach, where all of these energy sources are good. So whether it's fossil fuels, whether it's renewables, solar, and the left's approach is everything but. So in other words, they'll support everything but fossil fuels, everything but nuclear. And that's a profoundly, deeply unscientific and unproductive way of developing energy policy. You know, the left likes to frame this issue as one of environmental justice. Well, where is the justice in increasing energy prices and gas prices for low-income Americans? I mean, there is no justice in that. So history shows very clearly that free economies are clean economies. We just did a report with Nick Loris, who's now with us. He was at the Heritage Foundation before. And what Nick found is that economies that are free, where there's rule of law, there's less government, lower taxes, their environmental performance is twice that of less free economies. So that's what the answer is we need to have an all of the above approach and allow innovators to develop new technologies, not to tip the scales, not to try to pick winners and losers, but to trust markets and not mandates. And Biden is taking us in the wrong direction, because he's pandering to the central planners, you know, the people that want to have top-down solutions, and those solutions never work.
John Hart, everybody. John, I appreciate you, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. I told you about the big freeze we had down here in Texas. I live in Houston, and there was a big freeze. Just a couple days without power, without power, without water, without I was fine. A bunch of people were not. Sadly, some people even lost their lives. I was fine. Why was I fine? Well, believe it or not, I know some people think I do. I don't have a concrete bunker that's set for a nuclear blast in my backyard. I just take a few basic steps, nothing unreasonable, nothing ridiculous, nothing that's going to make people laugh, a few basic steps to make sure, should the lights go off again, the grocery store close, my family will be taken care of. Step number one for you, because I don't expect you to be some super prepper. Number one, My Patriot Supply. If you go to preparewiththefirst.com, that's preparewiththefirst.com, what you'll see there is a deal from My Patriot Supply. It's 25% off their four-week emergency food supply. Look, they've been doing this a long time. They do it better than anyone else. Like I said, it's a basic step, and when the lights go out, you will thank yourself for it. Preparewiththefirst.com. Coming up, A.W.R. Hawkins. We'll be back.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells, maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Well, I have this headline here. It's from a website maybe you've heard of. I don't know, a tiny little startup website called Breitbart. And the headline is, Judge rules California's assault weapons ban is unconstitutional. Now, I don't know very much about things like the law, so we're going to go to people who are experts on guns and laws and things like that. A.W.R. Hawkins, he is the Breitbart News Second Amendment dude. A.W.R., this sounds like obviously a good thing. What does it mean? How big of a win is this?
Well, it's a huge win in this way. It does place an injunction where that ban cannot be enforced after a 30-day period. He gave the attorney general a 30-day time frame in which to appeal or whatever he needs to do. But so 30 days from June 4th, there the injunction will be in place and the assault weapons ban will be unenforceable.
Okay, so put this into words, you know, the words an idiot can understand, meaning myself. Does this mean today Californians can go out and, you know, dial up that new AR-10 they've been looking for, provided you can actually find one? Is that what that means?
I see what you're saying. What it means is 30 days from June 4th, that judgment takes effect. And so right now, you can't go out and do those things. But this judge was so insightful, Jesse. This judge made a point, I'm paraphrasing, but he made a point such as, F-150s are wildly popular. AR-15s are twice as popular. I mean, he made these kind of observations in his ruling to say, look, the Democrats have taken perhaps the most popular firearm in America, demonized it, labeled it an assault weapon so they could ban it. And he said, it just can't be done. You can't do that. So that's where we are. It's wonderful news.
It is wonderful news. And you know what? We're going to have a brief pause here for a moment because, as everybody knows, I have one or two weapons. I can't confirm or deny where they are, but I have one or two. I do have an AR-15. I have yet to make the AR-10 purchase yet. I have a bunch of my friends, those Special Forces Super Ninja types, that swear to me I have to have an AR-10. AWR, do I have to have an AR-10 too?
You really need one, because the 308, in my opinion, is the best all-around round. You can, the 308, you can reach out and touch someone or something. 308, if you get someone in a fatal funnel, they're coming down a hallway at you, you win. You win if you have the 308. As I say, for hunting, it lets you take down medium to large game with no problem. I'm, a matter of fact, I'm in Louisiana right now. Tonight I'll hunt with a 4570 and with a 308, and I love the 308.
Okay, dang it. Now I'm going to have to. Now I've had the expert lecture me on the air. Now I have to, but setting that aside.
That's not a lecture.
Assault weapons. I understand that you and I roll our eyes whenever Democrats talk about assault weapons. The word itself is meaningless. I don't beat around the bush. All my weapons are assault weapons. It just depends on what it's meant to assault. But setting that aside, what is their definition? Because this is really important, and they're always quibbling over the definition, trying to grab more of them. Have they actually settled on something?
Well, I think it depends on which Democrat is speaking, and I don't mean that facetiously. That's how up in the air it is, and that makes your point. But I think if it has a quote-unquote heat guard, see, they don't understand a foreguard or a foregrip. They call it a heat guard. If it has a heat guard, if it has a thumb hole stock, if it has a collapsible stock, if it has threads on the end of the barrel, if it accepts a detachable magazine and that magazine is capable of holding more than 10 rounds, if it's flat on top so that it will accept optics, so it's optics ready, that freaks them out because it doesn't look like what they're used to seeing, even though it doesn't do anything to make the gun more lethal or more deadly or anything like that. Doesn't matter. So it's all cosmetic, Jesse, and I think that's the key point. Nothing they critique has anything to do really with the performance of the rifle. It's all cosmetic, and they've demonized them, as that judge said, just so they can ban them.
With the exception of my Ruger 22, I don't think I've ever held a magazine that held less than 10 rounds. That's the point of a magazine.
I agree. I mean, a magazine that only holds 10 rounds, it's just kind of boring. Plus, if someone comes through your door, Jesse, and I'm being very serious now, if someone comes through your door or my door or our neighbor's door, you look how many times, it's not just one person who comes through, it's two or it's three. If three people come through and each individual has a gun, regardless of the capacity of their gun, I want more than 10 rounds. If I've got three people coming in a home with evil intent, I want more than 10 rounds. And that's why I never buy into this ban talk, because ultimately it's not even just what I want, it's what I need. I need more than 10 rounds if I'm going to keep things safe.
I have consistently said the biggest problem I have with my 300 Blackout is not the 30-round mag. It's that the 30-round mag is not a 50-round drum. But anyway, we're setting that aside for now. I'm looking at another article by one A.W.R. Hawkins about the Supreme Court. Supreme Court to decide whether Second Amendment protects concealed carry of firearms. Now, the fact the Supreme Court has been named in there makes it sound like a really big deal. What exactly are they deciding, and when are they deciding it?
Well, I don't know exactly when they'll make that decision, but they're, you know, now what we're talking about is in New York, to move a gun, even if you're permitted to own the gun, if you're not permitted to move the gun or to carry the gun, then you can't transport that gun from your home to another location, and in some cases, from your home to a shooting range. And so what the Supreme Court's going to look at here is whether Second Amendment protections extend to carrying the gun outside the home. And it's very fundamental, because the question I ask is my life's worth protecting in my living room? Well, would our founding fathers have believed my life was worth protecting at Walmart or at the restaurant or at the coffee shop? And these are the kind of questions that'll have to be asked, because it's going to be that foundational. Do we have the same protection? Do we have the same protection down the street, 2 miles from our home? Do we have the same constitutional protection to carry a gun that we have in our living room or in our kitchen? And, you know, I don't know how they can rule against this, but of course you can't predict that. But, you know, all of our rights are of a cloth, which I know you know, Jesse. And so to say that I don't have a right to carry a gun in public for self-defense is much akin to saying I don't have the right to speak freely in public, only in my living room. And when you start to look at things that way, you go, ho, 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 that won't work. We can't put these rights, we can't compartmentalize like that. And I hope that's how the court will see it.
Are we winning or losing on guns in America right now? What I mean by that is this. I understand Biden, Harris, and I understand the administration's not what gun lovers want and things like that. And we have some nut job who's about to take over the ATF, which shouldn't even exist, but that's another story. But overall, over the past 10, 20 years, are we heading the right direction or the wrong direction?
My opinion, we're winning. You look at 8.4 million first-time gun buyers last year. I believe what we have, Jesse, and I know you probably see this better than I do from your vantage point, but what we have on the left, we still have that small contingency of diehard gun controllers. And the thing is, they have tons of money. So they're very loud, and it makes them look bigger than they are. But on our side, we have 8.4 million new gun owners. On our side, we have 20 states with constitutional carry. On our side, we have 50 states with concealed carry. On our side, we have states passing protections for gun makers so that if Biden pulls the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, there will still be state-level protection for gun makers. I could go on and on and on. My point is this. As you say, Biden, Harris, very loud, very anti-gun. The leftist groups, very loud, very anti-gun. But you and I are talking about which AR-10 we want to take hunting. We're talking about which round we, you know, we're, in my opinion, Jesse, we're winning, but we can't relax. Can't relax.
Would you please explain for people who've never been to Louisiana or Texas or anything like that, would you please explain the beauty of the crawfish boil?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the boudin ball because that's what I ate for lunch.
oh, yes.
But anyway, the crawfish boil can't be beat. And,
no.
You know, it's a social matter too, as you know. You know, it's a community. You come around at a big table, throw the crawfish out. You'll see the tables covered with newspaper. You throw your 3, 4, 5 pounds of crawfish out on that table for 3 or 4 of you to eat. You sit, you eat your crawfish, you line your drinks up, you get some boudin balls, you get some andouille sausage, and plenty of bread to sop up that wonderful sauce. And you talk. You are not in a hurry. That lunch we're talking about is an hour and a half, 2 hour lunch, and everybody's gonna catch up. What's going on? Jesse, how's the show going? AWRA, how's Breitbart doing? And we're just gonna talk. Hey, should I get an AR-10? And we're gonna vote on it at the table. That's how that lunch will work.
Yes, sir. AWR Hawkins, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Good dude right there. We'll be back. There have been some benefits over the last year. I mean, I think to lighten the mood today, we should show you a perfect display of one of those benefits. And here's what I mean by there being benefits over this last year. It's been easier to tell who your people are and who they're not. I remember I had to show up to a kids event. This was an outdoor kids sporting event about 5-6 months ago. Outdoors. And I show up with my son. Don't worry, my son's not going to dominate the sport or anything like that. But I show up with my son. And all the adults are there. We're outside, wind's blowing, and all the adults are there with masks. Everyone has like 10 face masks on and glasses and gloves. And there's one guy, he's got an American flag baseball cap on. And he's got his two kids around him standing by, everyone just standing there, t-shirt and shorts, no mask on, no nothing, looking around. And immediately I'm all, there's my people. So sometimes the sheep make it easy to identify themselves.
So I'm out sunbathing in the garden yesterday and I forgot to take my face mask off. I'm really not happy, guys. How am I meant to go to work like this?
Buddy, you don't. Quit, move to another country. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hmm.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.